Welcome to the Create a Life You Love podcast. I'm your host, Chantel Cox. My purpose is to empower and lift up others who know in their heart they're meant for more. More joy, more impact, and more passion. If you're ready to make a radical transformation and create a life that you love, then you have come to the right place. Let's do this. Welcome to today's episode of Thrive Not Survive, where we share tips from around the world about how to thrive and not just survive during turbulent times. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Chantel Cox, and I'm an author and transformation coach who empowers motivated women who are ready to break free from the bondage of daily stress and anxiety so that they can really step into their full potential and create a life that they love. So I am so excited to be here today with Susanna Matthews. Susanna is a professional dating coach and matchmaker and also a fellow author. And she's excited to share tips on how to master the art of courtship, even while we are social distancing. Yes. Welcome. Tell us a little bit about you. Like, I know you personally, but our audience may not. So, like, who are you? Where are you joining us from?
Yeah, well, so I live and work in Wichita, Kansas. Wichita is home base. It's especially home base right now, right? It's kind of lockdown right now. But I have friends and clients and acquaintances all over the country. And I've been in the dating world, as it were, professionally for over 9 years, although I've kind of always joked that I was that girl in college that was inserting herself into your love life and, you know, giving you advice and butting into your love life and, you know, kind of always the person that people seem to want to go to talk about those sorts of things. So it's been interesting to see kind of what our current circumstances, how that have impacted relationships, how our relationship with ourselves is being impacted by this. There are a lot of opportunities here, and then there are a lot of just kind of hard, you know, a lot of minefields too to navigate through with this new environment that we find ourselves in. So I guess I've always said that one of the things I love about my work and about being a dating coach and a matchmaker is that it's never boring and there's always variety. And this is especially so right now.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. So it's hard enough I'm currently in a very happy relationship and very blessed to be there, but I have been single a lot in my adult life. And so dating is hard under normal circumstances. So yeah, this is definitely something that throws a kink in that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there are some people who are responding with, I need to just kind of withdraw further. This is not the time for me to be pushing dating or trying to connect with people. This is a time for me to just kind of step back and take care of myself and maybe even develop myself and reflect a little bit on who I am and what I want and what I have to give. And that's fine. If that's your response, then that's your response and you are entitled to it. There are other people though, who are like, you know what? I'm just going to get to swipe it and let's get busy online. And here we go. And then, you know, I'm putting them on video dates and helping them just be social in a cyber setting. And that's also a perfectly acceptable and normal response. So whichever camp you fall into, you're fine. And the day will come when we will hopefully get to emerge from our caves.
Absolutely. Our guest yesterday is in Dallas, and I guess Texas is starting to slowly release some of those things coming up this week. So maybe we will follow.
Yes, hopefully so.
Yeah. So how has this whole COVID-19 kind of impacted you personally and professionally?
Well, I'll be honest, it has impacted me personally in ways I guess I should have expected, because I know that I'm accustomed to being a sort of a social butterfly and being out and about, but yet there's really been nothing like this in our lives before to compare it to or to give us any standard of comparison. So I was sort of in a little bit of a hibernation mode anyway from winter, and then I was having some work done on my house, so I was working at home more just to be present while that was happening, and then the stay-at-home order happened. So when that hit, I had already been kind of tucked in a little bit and a little more introverted than I normally would be. Usually this time of year in the spring, when the sun is shining longer and the flowers are blooming and the birds are singing, I'm ready to kind of emerge like the bear at the end of winter from hibernation and enter the world again. And of course that's being delayed this year. So I have had days that are great. And then I've had days that I jokingly called, this was a five cry day. And, you know, I'm missing my life as it used to be. And there, that doesn't mean there aren't still things to appreciate and enjoy in life as it is now. In fact, some of those things I appreciate, enjoy, and enjoy are really the simple things, right? People are kind of getting back to basics with a lot of things. Simple things in relationships, simple things in nature, simple things like just going for a drive in a different neighborhood, going for a bike ride. And so that is a good recentering and rebalancing, but it's kind of it makes me think of like walking on that balance beam in a gymnastics class. You're constantly kind of trying to get the bearings and get yourself centered and make sure you stay upright.
Absolutely. So it sounds like you've kind of found some ways personally to help you kind of cope with not being able to be as social as I know you normally are. And I'm in that camp with you. Right. I'm used to just go, go, go every night. Tonight is this, tonight is that. And so now being like, oh, there's nowhere to go. What do I do at that time?
And then of course, in terms of the work that I do, like I said, people are kind of responding in different ways. There are some people who are sort of like, you know what, I wasn't enjoying dating all that much before this started. This just gives me an excuse to throw up my hands and back away slowly. So they like that. And then there are other people that, like I said, they're saying, well, we're only going to be doing this for maybe 3 months or 6 months. So why don't I do everything I can to make sure my online dating profile is tip top and the best it can be, or to just kind of get all my ducks in a row so that when it is time to go out and about, I'm confident. I know how to have great conversations that deepen connections and really elevate the experience that other people are having of me. I've got my image together. I've got, you know, whatever wardrobe, you know, all that stuff. There are people who are kind of using the time in that way. And so I enjoy helping to guide that process a lot.
That's awesome. I love that so much. I know after my divorce, I spent a year not dating and just working on myself. And had I not taken that time, there's no way I would be in the relationship that I'm in today, because one of my best friends says like attracts like. So when I was a hot mess, I was attracting other hot messes. Yeah. And I'm by no means perfect, and neither is he, but just the caliber of people that I started bringing into my world after I did the internal work, it just shifted. It all shifted kind of together. And so I love the idea of people using some of this time to kind of up-level themselves, whether it's, you know, your own mindset, all of that, or like you said, working on your profile and figuring out, really targeting, who am I wanting to attract with this?
You know, the brutal truth is that a lot of us use busyness as a distraction or as a numbing agent, if you will. We stay busy so we don't have to face things that are uncomfortable about our lives or about our internal world, our psyche. And so now that that busyness has just been grabbed away from us, this is a little bit of a moment of discomfort for a lot of people to go, oh, do I even like my own company? Do I even, like, I'm the only one I'm left with, and do I like what I see when I look in the mirror? And you know, that can be painful. But that's a part of the work I do too, is kind of helping people through that. It's okay to say, you know, I was getting all wrapped up in all these busy activities and work and family and social and this and that, and I didn't really realize that at the core I was kind of depleted, maybe, or I didn't really know what I was about. I'll ask people, who are you, and what, you know, what's your core values? What What's your ideal partner like? And what are you going to give to them in order to be able to attract that person? And if they don't know, you know, that can be a hard moment, but it's such a necessary moment. And I don't make anyone do anything that I haven't done as far as that internal dialogue goes. But don't be afraid to get some support for that. So that you're not kind of sitting and spinning and going, well, what do I do with this now that I'm in it?
Absolutely. So what would be some tips, some ways to find that kind of support?
Well, obviously coaching, like with someone like yourself or with me, you know, reading books. I'm someone who always loves to go to the literature if I have a problem in life, books, blogs, even Facebook groups. There's a lot of support to be found in Facebook groups. But here's one caveat. Just make sure that it is a like-minded group and that the group offers forward growth and forward facing support, that it's not just a group that's kind of dedicated to, oh, woe is me. And, you know, all men are terrible or all women are crazy, you know, that it's not just kind of a group of people that want to get together and ruminate and stew in the problem, that it's really a group of people that can be empowering and loving and not just about sort of reinforcing our wounds to ourselves. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. In the comments here, we've got Mickey says, hello, good morning or good afternoon, Mickey. And, I don't know how to pronounce your name. Is it Sizzy? Says core values are so important. So definitely resonating with the audience there. So do you have any recommended books or podcasts or where can we direct some people?
Yeah, I love Stan Tapkin's books, Wired for Love, Wired for Dating. Those are about attachment style. And, you know, it's nothing new for me to say that oftentimes whatever was going on in our childhood gets to show back up again in our adult relationships. And so that's the never ending fountain of personal growth opportunity there is when you get to look at that. But those are good books. But I should say, too, that, you know, sort of an equal dosage of just time to let the brain kind of, you know, chill and just down, you know, throttle back into maybe kind of neutral is also really good as well. I don't think it's reasonable to think that just because we're all staying home, we should be reading 4 or 6 or 8 hours a day.
What? No.
Okay. Unless it's your book or mine.
Right.
You should definitely be studying that.
Tell us a little bit about your book.
Oh my. Well, okay. So it almost feels like a blast from the past to talk about it. I have a book entitled Revising Mrs. Robinson, and it's an exploration of intergenerational romantic relationships between older women, usually middle-aged women, and younger men. So age gap relationships with at least probably like a 10-year or more age difference. And when I first started researching that topic many years ago, it was less of a phenomenon than it is even now. At that time, the only people who really seemed to have those kinds of relationships who were visible were celebrities, people in the public eye. Now there are even more celebrities with those kinds of relationships, but more importantly, there are perfectly happy, healthy couples who are in these types of relationships as well. And there are some unique opportunities in terms of personal growth that can be available in that kind of relationship. Also some unique challenges, to be honest. And so I found when I was talking to the women I talked to and reading the social science research I was reading, that it takes quite a core strength and a core confidence to be in any kind of relationship that is deemed unconventional or outside the norm, whether that's because of ethnicity or race or religious background or some other, you know, box that we check that contains a label or some kind of identifying factor. And so there are some unique difficulties that can exist in that kind of relationship, but they aren't impossibilities. And so the more a person can be educated about how to best approach that kind of relationship, and the more the two people can kind of come together to join their powers and know how they're going to respond, the better off. That said, too, not all relationships, regardless of age, are meant to last. Not all will. Sometimes it's just a matter of understanding, here's what I was able to derive from this relationship, here were the lessons I took away, here's what I was able to contribute, and just being okay with that. It doesn't have to be a relationship that takes you to the grave for it to have mattered and meant a lot.
I love that. Yeah, I think every relationship, whether it's a friendship or a romantic relationship, it all teaches you a lesson of, you know, how, I don't know, just looking back on different relationships I've had, I've grown as a person because of that relationship, or I've gotten more clarity on this type of thing is what I do want or don't want. So, yeah. And even with friendships, you know, the whole Jim Rohn, like, you're the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. He says it more eloquently. I can't think of the exact quote right now, but so sometimes you have to kind of distance yourself from certain friends even, or get out of a relationship because it's not who you want to be in your future.
I'm glad you said that, Chantel, because I think that this current circumstance we have actually gives us the perfect opportunity to sort of take stock, take inventory of our friend groups, and maybe even reach out to someone you haven't talked to in a year or 5 or 10, someone who maybe once meant a lot to you, and for whatever reason, maybe you drifted apart. And so this quarantine period is your perfect excuse to say, you know what, I was sitting at home and I was bored, or I didn't have anything going on, and I just thought, you know, where is so-and-so? What are they up to these days? And I just thought I'd reach out. It's kind of the perfect time to do it and not worry that it's weird, or that it's, you know, what are they going to think? And, you know, will I catch them off guard, or will they think I'm bad because I didn't keep the friendship? Everyone's happy, pretty much happy to be contacted right now. So you can pretty safely call, and for the most part, people aren't going to hang up on you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's always that fear too. I want to support all my friends who have their own business, whether it's something like what you're doing or I'm doing, or if it's MLM, like whatever, like I want to support anybody and everybody however I can. But when you do get like that random phone call or random Facebook message from someone you haven't heard from in a while, you're like, oh, what are you trying to sell me? Yes. And so this COVID is like, It takes away some of that, because you're just like, oh, you just want to connect. You just want to
just want to talk.
So we have a question. So Suzy says, many men seem to think you will change your mind in regards to family and having children. Mm-hmm. I'm quite upset that I get to see this over and over. I'm very clear on that matter in the beginning. What tips might you have?
You know, I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong. you know, I wish I could say like, oh no, you're the only one that's experienced that. But I do think that that happens, and probably it goes both ways, right? There are certain things that we want to change or hope that we can change about the other person in the early stages when the bloom is still very much on the rose and they're just perfect in every way except for this one thing, whether it's having children or where we're going to retire or whatever. And that can be so painful to invest your time in that relationship and invest your energy and be very upfront about maybe saying, I don't want kids, or I only want this many, or I don't want them until I'm this age, and feel like that person's just not listening to me. So yeah, there are definitely some ways to raise that conversation early and often without necessarily sounding strident or like, hey, I'm just checking this box. I got to make sure we line up on this. Because here's the thing, like any one of us could say, this is who I am. These are all my assets and qualities and blah, 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 blah. But when we get into a relationship, all of a sudden this shuffles like, oh, okay, now what was up here is now down here. And now this much, this weighs this much, and this other thing weighs this much. So all those qualities kind of, it's like you took a stack of cards and you went like this. And so maybe the person I'm with brings out certain facets of me that my ex didn't bring out, and vice versa, or suppresses certain facets of me that the last person didn't. And that sounds maybe on the surface a little like, oh, wait a second, you know, but it's normal. That's natural. And so I'm not going to say that these people are wrong for thinking you're wonderful and that they want to have a family with you. And I'm not going to say you're wrong for being really transparent about your wishes not lining up with that. Just hold out the hope and the trust that as you continue to show up as your authentic and loving self, that the right person will be attracted and magnetized to who you are and what you're about and what you do have to offer.
That's beautiful advice. Just be your authentic self. I love it. I struggle on the opposite, or I have in the past, of I always wanted kids. And so that would be my thing in my online dating profile of this is a deal breaker. Right. If you don't want kids, then don't even message me, because why waste each other's time? And now that, you know, I turn 36 here soon, I'm starting to rethink that. I'm like, oh, kids are a lot of work. Like I kind of like sleeping in on a Saturday morning, you know? So I find myself shifting, and so we'll see, but I don't know, Susie, exactly what side you land on. I'm reading it as in, you know, you don't want kids, and I would find it maybe harder to shift from not wanting kids to wanting kids. Whereas for me, it was kind of like an age thing. Like, if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. Like, and now that I've chosen to date someone who is significantly older than me and expecting his first grandchild in a couple weeks, yeah, it's probably just not going to happen for me.
You know, that, and that might be how it did that. I always say sometimes the most wonderful thing comes in the package you least expect. So maybe that kid experience and that maternal experience that you're craving is meant to be in that form. I do also say people often, almost always, they tell you the truth about who they are up front. It's just a matter of kind of listening for those things. And we're all guilty of selectively listening, like, oh, well, she told me this, but I didn't catch that she didn't want kids. You may have said it 10 times and it just didn't land, right? So, you know, that happens too in relationships. It's just a part of relating.
Absolutely. So what other tips do you have for how someone can thrive during this time? And some people watching live with us or that are going to watch the replay are coupled and some are not. So there's kind of a spectrum.
Yeah, so I thought about that a lot because this time is stressful for couples who are sheltering in place at home. There was a little meme I saw on Facebook about it. It was like a cat and a dog just kind of at each other, and that made me chuckle. But this is a great opportunity to ask that difficult but important question of how are we doing as a couple? And I know that's so scary to ask. So I don't know, pour a little glass of wine or something and maybe give each other a foot rub or a hand rub and really like nurture each other and soothe each other before you ask that question, so that you'll be coming from a space that's gentle and kind and loving. But that question of how are we doing rarely gets asked in a relationship and in marriages even. And when we don't check in with the other person, we typically start to take them for granted. We start to assume that they're fine. And maybe even we know we're not giving that much or contributing that much. And well, they seem to be putting up with it. They haven't complained. So, okay, they can just do with less. And then that becomes the new norm. So when you ask that question, it's important not only that you kind of set the stage, but also that you be ready for an honest answer, which may not be the butt kiss and answer that you want. You know, it may not be like, well, you're just really rocking my world. And thank you for just being the best girlfriend or wife or whatever that I've ever known. That may not be the answer, but when you are courageous enough to ask the question, I hope you're also courageous enough to consider that your partner might have needs that you're not fully and completely aware of or fully and completely meeting. And certainly we can't meet everyone's needs all of the time, constantly. We're human, but we can sure try our best to show up in the ways that they need us and express love in the ways that they need us. So have that question. And then a good follow-up question to that is, well, what do I do for you that shows you I love you? What do I do that successfully shows you I care? Maybe it's something you can do more of, or maybe there's one thing you're doing, but then they can suggest a couple of other things as well. And then be sure to tell them what you're grateful that they're doing, right? Because this is not about just gimme, 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 but it's about letting them know, I really love the way you massage my head at night, or I really love the way you whisper to me as I'm falling asleep and tell me stories, or whatever. And I know a lot of that sounds goofy, but right now that's kind of all we have, right? We're not, you know, we're just living in a different lane right now. So really communicating about that. And then that sets kind of a stage for some brave communication about maybe bigger issues where there's conflict or unresolved, ongoing conflict. It's really investing in the intimacy of the relationship to ask those kinds of things.
Nice. I know my parents are now empty nesters. And so I have a kind of group chat with my mom and sister and I, and she'll text up some pretty funny things. And then she'll just end it with like, you know, times like this, it really makes you take stock and be thankful for who you married. And I'm glad that she falls on that side, but I could imagine not everybody does. They're supposed to go on a cruise, and instead of being, I'm sure there was moments of, man, this stinks, like this isn't what we wanted to be doing during this time, but they did like funny things that they would do on the cruise. They did like a towel, they made like towel swans. They looked up on the internet how to do that, so they had a towel folding competition, and then like posted their photos on Facebook and had people vote who made the best towel swan.
I love it. That's so creative.
Doing things like that. So I think it's fun when people can, if you're in a relationship, to use this time to, you know, figure out new and different ways to connect instead of just going to the separate ends of the house and I'm going to watch my Netflix series. You go watch your Netflix series. Mm-hmm. I'm grumpy. Don't talk to me.
Right.
Awesome. And then for our single, audience, what are some tips for them to thrive during this time?
Well, so I am definitely encouraging my clients of all ages to be at least experimenting with online dating. And here's the thing, you know, even if you don't think it's your jam, or maybe you've tried it once before and it didn't go your way, we're in kind of a, you know, why not just try something crazy and new? Like, what else are you going to do right now? Okay. You have no reason not to just give it a try. And I always tell people too, like, if you tried it and you didn't have someone help you write your profile, you don't really get to say you tried it. Cause you know, just as I could say to my accountant, well, I tried to set up QuickBooks, but she's going to say to me, and you didn't do a very good job because she has a better way. She has a more efficient way. She knows how to work that like magic. It's the same thing with online dating. People often feel that they should be able to write their own profile really well and pick their own pictures really well. But for the most part, it does kind of take that better eye, that trained eye. And there are some things from my own experience in the dating industry that I can bring to it that I wouldn't expect anyone else to know, just like my accountant wouldn't expect me to know all of IRS tax code, right? It's just, it's not your area of expertise. So get some help, I would say, from a professional if you want to take it seriously. But if you just want to play, then play and put yourself out there on some apps and know that whatever you try right now, that's not who you have to be forever, or that's not where you have to be stuck forever. Again, if you just approach it with an attitude of playful experimentation and curiosity, then it doesn't really matter how people react to you. It doesn't really matter if you meet the love of your life or the biggest jerk in the world, because when you just show up with that, I'm just here to play and experiment and I don't know, see what happens, then you can really never be disappointed. Your expectations are never really going to be a problem.
Awesome. So I've been out of the dating world for a minute. What are the apps that you would recommend these days?
I still love Bumble. Bumble's a favorite. I like Hinge as well, but I think, you know, it's not quite as popular in the area where I live and work. And then too, just be ready for what the next step is. So you're going to talk with that person either through the platform, or maybe you'll exchange Facebook contacts or phone numbers or something like that. And then plan your video date with the same amount of purpose and intention and creativity and happiness that you would plan a real life date. And so that means making sure your background is not messy and cluttery. It means making sure you have some good light so that you don't look shadowy. It means making sure that your computer is a little bit higher than your eye level of your face. It means making sure you have some talking points. So here's a cheat you don't get in a real life date. You can put a post-it note in front of you on your lap or your desk or your dining room table that the other person can't see, with some things from their profile that you want to comment on or ask some questions about. And they don't know that you have little reminders there to prompt you. And I think sometimes people freeze when they get in front of a camera or a device like this. And so we want it to be smooth. We want it to be natural and organic. So definitely prepare for that. Maybe you pour a drink together. Maybe you listen to some music together, play a game together. I love the little conversation cards that come in packs. They're, do you know what I'm talking about? They're conversation prompts.
I don't know.
That you just draw a card out of a deck, and it's not like a playing card, but it's a, you know, a question about, like, you know, what was your biggest mistake you made when you were a child, or if you could fly away to anywhere in the world, where would you fly to tomorrow, something like that. So it's a way to kind of get past the whole, well, what do you do, oh, what do you do, what's your day, how was your day, you know, all the kind of superficial and very predictable conversation that most people have. And then before I kind of put a bow on that, I do want to say, you know, make sure you are looking at the person on the other end of the screen like the person, like the human that they are. In other words, I see a lot of people on Zoom calls who have kind of flat, dead faces. You know, they look grumpy, but they aren't. It's just their resting face. That's their resting expression. So when you're looking at your device like it's an inanimate object, you're not going to give any energy. You're not going to give any love. You're not going to give any warmth. Remember that that's a person on the other end, and give all the love, energy, and warmth that you would if they were an arm's length away from you.
Ooh, that's good advice. For anybody using something like Zoom to do something like that, what I've learned, this is now my, I don't know, 14th or 15th Zoom interview. So if you look back at the first one, hopefully I've grown in this last couple of weeks. But one thing that I've learned is I really minimize the window of the speaker, and I put it up at the top of my screen right under my camera. So I'm looking at it, and I get rid of my own picture because it's just so distracting. So I like minimize it so small. So all I see is them right under the camera. And then I have the other windows open too, so I can see the chat. Hello, Michael. Glad you joined us today. So I can see the other things, and I have a Word doc open with my cues for our conversation. So you could have that open too, if you were doing a dating type thing, of what type of cues, or you can go old school with the post-its. I have those too.
I love it. You are ready.
But yeah, cause I looked back at some of my videos, and I'm like clearly looking like over here and like not, so I'm looking at the person, but in the video, what they're perceiving, I was not looking at them.
Yeah. Did you, do you mind if I ask you, did you have to do anything to kind of manage your energy? Like for some people, they're kind of chill and low energy, so they need to bring your energy up for the video date. And then other people get nervous and anxious, so they actually need to like calm down and be centered. Did you need to do anything to kind of get your energy in the right place?
So for this, I like to put on like kind of a song that makes me feel energetic and empowered. And so I'll kind of do like some funny dancing or whatever, just to get the flowing and then show up with high energy, ready to do this. When I was in the dating world, this is why I'm not a dating coach, guys. Listen to Susanna's advice, not mine. But I usually had a drink before I went on the date.
Okay. Take the edge off. Nice. Yeah. So I think that the music and the dancing is a great idea. If you're someone that's usually kind of like laid back and people just think you're, you know, maybe you're a little more introverted or something like that, or you don't come across as gregarious, it might be good for you to do some push-ups or walk around the house or put on some crazy dance music or something like that. And if you're someone who's usually like up here in terms of your energy and your vibration, then you may want to just like meditate or take a bath or do some deep breathing, something like that, to kind of, so you're not going to seem like you're bouncing off the walls and you're all over the place.
Yeah. And on Zoom, you have the option to record. I would always make sure it was okay with the other person that you're recording, but you can always rewatch that recording if it is okay with that person and kind of self-reflect on, was I looking at the person? Did I come off, you know, when they were talking and I wasn't talking, what did my facial expression look like, or my body language, or how was my energy level? And
Yeah, that's a really good point, you know, and it kind of fits into that theme of just experiment right now and look at this as a learning opportunity. So you can record those video dates and go back and watch yourself and kind of say, okay, how did I do? Did I nod and smile and give eye contact and throw in some utterances of affirmation now and then, just like I would in a real conversation? Or did I just kind of sit back and scowl with a furrowed brow and arms crossed and that sort of thing?
Yeah. would you want to date you?
Yeah. I mean, you need to be the dream, right? So if you want to attract the dream, you better show up as the dream. You need to be what you want to get.
I love it. I love it. Any other tips for thriving, not just barely surviving in the realm of relationships?
Yeah, well, like I said, this is a time that's kind of testing and trying us all. And not only that, but if you have children at home, your kids are watching. So we have all this stress that we're having to manage, and we're having to do it with their eyes on us, looking to how do mommy and daddy, you know, get through the day, and how do they share the responsibilities, and how do they make us do our homework and go to bed and do all those things. And so I know that's extra, because usually with parenting, you have a moment of a day, 8 hours maybe, where you can kind of step away and just be an adult. And you don't have to worry about managing all the emotions and supporting the kids and everything. So just know that, you know, if you're feeling like that's got you pulling your hair out, you're in no way crazy, and you're totally normal. And this is actually kind of a good time. You know, I talked about those brave, honest conversations with your partner. It's kind of a good time to have some of those with your kids as well. I just had one with my son that was really, really real and pretty vulnerable and long overdue. And I was like, why did it take a pandemic to put us in this place and make this happen? You know, it's all those things that we know, but we don't do about, you know, hug them on the way out the door in case it's the last time you ever see them, and tell them you love them, and, you know, just do all those things that I don't want anyone in my life to ever for a moment question, did she love me? You know, was I loved? So I'm going to make sure I go overboard on showing that.
That's awesome. That's interesting, the perspective shifts that happen during something like this. So, yeah.
Hopefully we don't forget it on the other side, right? Hopefully we carry it with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm interested to see how things shift long-term from something like this. Like, there's no way you can go through this dramatic of a change and then go right back to where you were. Like, there's going to be growth and impact that sticks.
And I think baby steps to in whatever direction we choose to go. You know, just as we know that the whole economy isn't just going to open up magically overnight, we're all going to be like back to work in one day. I think it's going to take baby steps to sort of choose what's the lifestyle and the work style that I want on the other side of this. And it's okay if you don't know right away. You know, if the governor says May 3rd, we're coming out, and you don't know on May 3rd, that's okay. You get time.
Absolutely. So I want people to be able to connect with you. And so I'm going to have you share some things that you've got going on and how people can dig deeper with you. And while she's doing that, everyone watching live, if you have any specific comments or questions that you would like us to address during our time together here with Susanna, go ahead and be typing those in the chat now, and then I'll read those in a moment. And then, so Susanna, how can people connect with you?
Well, I would love to stay in touch. And a good way to do that is my email address is Susanna@thedatemaven.com. You can also find The Date Maven on Facebook. That's our business Facebook page. www.thedatemaven.com is the website you can go to read our blog. And we have a YouTube channel as well with videos that contain free dating advice. So that's a kind of a good way to stick your toe in the water if you're not really sure what the next step is for you. We're kind of excited. We've been using this downtime to work hard on putting out a brand new program, and it launches this Thursday. It's called Mastering the Art of Courtship. It's an 8-week long group coaching experience, and we will meet on Zoom one evening a week, and we'll dedicate about 20 to 30 minutes of just teaching and sharing our sort of greatest hits of what we've taught over the years as dating coaches. And then for the next 20 to 30 minutes, all the people who attend, single men and women from all over the place, will have the opportunity to socialize and network with one another and provide support and just community to one another. It'll be a great place to troubleshoot dating problems that maybe you've experienced in the past or frustrations that you want to offload. We'll kind of mastermind around those. So it's unique in that I know plenty of other people that have online courses or video-based courses, but I'm not aware of anyone who's doing anything quite like this, where it's a hybrid of we're going to teach here and then we're going to socialize here. And at the end of the hour, you're going to come away with these nuggets of knowledge as well as maybe a few new friends. So it's phenomenally budget priced given the current environment that we're in. It's $97 for the 8-week course. We'll have a Facebook community as well dedicated to that. And I've created some mindset meditations in audio form that I'll share with you as well to kind of help get you through this stressful and trying time. So I would invite people to check out the information on Eventbrite, and registration will be closing in just a couple days. So this would be good to share with any single friends or family, you know, maybe out of state as well. A good way to connect with them, bring them into the group. We'd love to have them.
Awesome. And if you'll get me that link, the Eventbrite link, I can put it in the replay and everything like that, so people can.
Awesome. Thank you.
Click on that and get more information. So that's exciting. I was taking notes because I'm building my own coaching program. And so I like some of the things that you have included in there. So it sounds like a great program.
Yeah, we are teaching online dating, power openings, which is a proprietary concept. We're teaching mindset. We're teaching confidence building. People can expect to learn how to not only have conversations with the people there in the group, but outside the group as well. So the group will be a good like beta testing ground, or, you know, kind of place to experiment with the concepts you're learning, because it's a safe place to try out those new concepts and tactics. And then you can take them into your everyday life and the real world.
Awesome. Very cool. Anybody have, let's see, Susie says, thanks for the inspiration. Smiley Aww. Face.
My pleasure. This is so great. I love the work that you're doing, Chantal.
Thank you. I was talking to Will. We went on a walk yesterday. We either walk or run pretty much every day. Mm-hmm. And we've got a little, like, it's about 3.5-4 mile route that we take. And I was like, you know, I was excited for these interviews, but I didn't realize how much I would enjoy them.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I knew I'd like them, but I didn't know that they would pump me up quite as much as they are.
Wonderful.
It's been really fun. Any last kind of tips or things you want to share, Susanna?
I just hope that people will not be shy about reaching out. I used to be one of those people that just felt like if I was struggling or I was having a hard time, I just had to like stiff upper lip it. That was just kind of the way I was raised. And, you know, you just got to put your chin down and plow through. And if ever there was a time, I think, to give ourselves a little bit of grace on that, it would be now. So if anyone is struggling and maybe just not quite sure what to do to have some kind of social contact right now, or just feeling like there's a little bit of an existential crisis going on, just know that it's never wrong to reach out. It's never wrong to ask for help and to allow yourself to be supported.
Well, we will wrap it up. Susanna, thank you so much for joining us today. You've given so much insight and wisdom, and just sharing to be your authentic self and allow yourself grace, I think, is a beautiful message.
Well, I always enjoy a conversation with you, so anytime.
Thank you for listening to the Create a Life You Love podcast. I would love to hear from you about your biggest takeaways. Share them with me on Facebook or Instagram at Create a Life You Love Coaching. If you love this podcast, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. That's it for now. Enjoy the journey.